Good to be with you again this evening. You can turn again to the 111th Psalm. Just to mention a couple of things before we look into the Word. We were mentioning some of the prison things this morning. We don't see, to the extent that it was several years ago, the courses being used in the other ways. The prisons have kind of taken on the vast majority here in the United States. Of course, there are a lot being used overseas by missionaries, but the Lord is still using the courses. Yet, when I was at the men's retreat over in West Virginia this weekend, two of the brethren there who work on the railroad down in southern West Virginia each asked me if I could send them 25 copies of each of them 25 copies of what the Bible teaches. They've been sharing what the Bible teaches with men on the railroad. And a lot of them are taking the course, getting into it, and in recent months, three have professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said the Lord is working among the workers down there on the railroad, and so pray for these two brethren who are laboring among their fellow workers. And as they pass out these courses, that the men who take them will study them, and some might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then also, Emmaus has a number of children's courses, and over in Franklin and Fulton County, child evangelism, they have camps, and last summer, a little girl over in Fulton County, who comes from an unchurched family, trusted the Lord as her Savior, and CEF has correspondence courses, and through the office in Waynesboro, she studied all the courses that CEF had to offer, and so, one of the workers in the office asked if we had anything, and we made available to her the Emmaus children's courses. And now since the beginning of September, she's already studied through two of the children's courses. It's on a third, and the lady says she just seems to eat up the Word. 11 years old, and she's just hungry to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. So pray as in opportunities like this. I know this year Emmaus approached a number of camps around the country, assembly camps, and 25 camps signed up for using children's the Emmaus courses for follow-up for children's camps. And so that's another opportunity of reaching out. There, Charlie Fizer out at Emmaus is trying to develop some things to try and maybe reach to homeschoolers that are looking for materials to use for Bible study, that maybe Emmaus courses can be used by homeschoolers. And then as well, with the computer age that we're in the next few months, they're going to be coming out with some of the courses on the CD discs that fit with the computers. And so people can study the courses right over their computer along with some of the Bible study, fits in with some of the Bible study programs that are available. So the Lord is not only in the prisons, but also in other ways, the courses are being used, and the Lord is working in the lives of individuals. Again, tonight in Psalm 111, we'll read it's a short psalm, so we'll read it. It says, "Praise to you, the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all of them who have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given food unto those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All of his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Shall we just look to him in prayer? Our Father, we thank thee again this evening for the opportunity we have once again to gather together to look at thy word. We just ask that you would just lead and guide as the word is brought forth, that you would just speak to our hearts. We pray, Father, if there be someone here who doesn't know you as their Savior, that tonight might be the night that they'd receive the wonderful gift of salvation. We pray that all that's said and done tonight might be to give thee and thee alone the honor and the glory. It's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. We were looking at this morning as the idea of this psalm bringing out that we need to be praising people, people of praise. It begins off with the exhortation to praise ye the Lord. And we look at that to begin with, and then we look at two of the aspects of praise. In verse 5 where it says he has given food to those who fear him, we saw the added aspect of his work of in his blessings to us temporally, with all the things that we have in a physical manner, how we owe him praise for that. In verse 6 it speaks of the power of his works. And we thought of the Lord and His the power, His works that we can see round about us, and how we can give Him praise in that. And then we come to the third aspect, is the spiritual aspect. He has sent redemption unto His people, it says in verse 9. And so the first blessing that we really see that we can praise for, is as far as the spiritual aspect concerns, is salvation, isn't it? He has sent redemption to His people. And as we were singing that last song, the last verse says, I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. I hope tonight that every one of us who is singing that song, as we thought on these words, we could say, yes, these are true in my life. I have trusted you. I do know that you're my Savior. I know that you're with me, and I know that you'll be with me forever. And what a joy it is to be able to know the Lord Jesus Christ as one Savior. And it could possibly be that every one of us in this auditorium tonight know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That if the Lord Jesus Christ were to return before this meeting is over, there would be an empty auditorium here. Wouldn't that be tremendous if he would return tonight? But you know, it would be sad if the Lord Jesus Christ were to return and even one person were to be left behind. We live in a world today when so many people turn their backs upon God's gift of salvation. We're coming up on the time of the year when people are out doing their shopping and stores are beginning to fill up with people looking for gifts, looking to buy gifts for individuals. And as they buy these gifts, thinking, boy, it's going to be, I'm giving this loved one a gift or a friend. And a few weeks down the road, people will be opening these gifts and appreciating what they've received. Think what it would do to hurtful would be if a person bought someone a gift and someone opened that gift and said, well, I don't like it. I don't want it. Take it back. But yet, isn't that exactly, in a sense, what the world, so many of us do concerning the Lord? He's given us, offered us the most wonderful gift in the world, and that's eternal life. He offered it through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, so many people say, well, no, I don't want it. Maybe I have to work my way for it, to get it. Maybe I'll just wait a little longer. Know how foolish it is to delay in one's trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. For importantly, He could return at any moment. But how unsure we are of life in these days. You know, just in the past few weeks, there have been various occasions of individuals just in our general area who have started off for school in the morning, and before they even reached school, their lives were taken from them. There was an accident of some students on their way to Waynesboro High School just a few weeks ago. An accident down on Old Forge Road. And in just a matter of seconds, a life was taken from a teenager. Just this past week, a teenage girl on her way to school at Smithsburg High School pulled from an intersection into the path of another car. And in just a few seconds, a life was taken. And so we can never be sure of tomorrow, can we? We can never be sure of even the rest of this day. And how important it is that we know what our future holds. And we can know. The Lord says that He has given us His word that we might know that we have salvation. He's shown us the way of salvation in His Word so that we can know that we have eternal life. And maybe you're here tonight and you've never received that eternal life. You know, God loves you so much. A lot of times people, they say, well, does God really love me? Yes, He does love us. To think that here is someone who is righteous and holy. God was perfect in every way. And He had every right to say to every one of us, you're sinners. You've broken my law. You've disobeyed. You've lied. You've you've stolen, you've disobeyed your parents, you've done any number of things. You don't deserve to be in my presence, and so I'm going to doom all of you to an eternity in the lake of fire. And God would have been well within his right to do that. But God says, I love mankind. I love men and women, boys and girls. And I would want them to be able to be with me for all eternity. Despite the fact that they're sinners, I still love them. And so God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth. Of course, it's Christmas. The world celebrates the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times not really recognizing, trying putting the emphasis on all the other trappings of it, the gifts and such, not realizing that this was when God sent the perfect gift in this world. After living on this earth for 33 years, as he was arrested, tried, had false accusation made against him, had the Roman governor proclaim, this man, I find no fault in him, he's an innocent man, and then turn around and say, I sentence him to death. And to see the Son of God led out to Mount Calvary, nailed to a cross, and there dying on that cross, suffering great anguish, but also as he hung on that cross, he took your punishment and my punishment. He became our substitute. Can you imagine what it's like for someone to take our punishment for us? You know, it never happens. Can you imagine if you're a parent and your children were into some kind of a scuffle or something or doing something that was wrong? And you say, okay, now, maybe you've got two sons. You say, now, you've done wrong. You're going to have to be punished. And the other son says, don't punish him, Mom. Don't punish him, Dad. Let me take the punishment for him. If a parent had this happen, they would probably faint, wouldn't they? Because it would be something you wouldn't see very often. But God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says, I'll take their punishment for him. And on that cross, he bore the penalty that we deserved to pay so that he might say, here is the gift of salvation. It's available if you'll just receive it. It's nothing we can work for. If we worked for 1,000,000 years, if we went out and did good deeds all day long, we could never earn our salvation. It's nothing we could pay for. If we had all the money in the world, all the gold in Fort Knox, we could never pay for our salvation. But yet it was paid for with a great price, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he died on that cross, and tonight he says, here, salvation is offered to you. And the psalm says, he has sent redemption to his people. He offers redemption to us. And I hope that all of us tonight can say, I can rejoice in the redemption I have from the Lord Jesus Christ. I can praise him for my salvation. But if even there's one individual among us and you've never trusted him as your Savior, won't you this evening give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? He loves you so much. He gives this gift to you. And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Won't you receive him tonight? If you haven't before, if you after the meeting, if you'd like to speak to me or one of the brethren, we'd be glad to talk to you so that you may know the good news of your sins forgiven. And you may be able to join in the praises to the Lord for the salvation that he's given, for that eternal life. And so the blessing of eternal life is something that we can't begin to put a value on it, can we? If we had all the riches that ever existed in this world, it wouldn't begin to take the place of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ in our salvation. But there are other spiritual blessings that he has bestowed upon us. As we think about being a people of praise, you know, he's giving us a wonderful spiritual heritage. He's given us a heritage of having brothers and sisters in the Lord. Sometimes we as Christians, a little bit take for granted our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We think about them, particularly if somebody has a problem or if someone gets sick, we pray for them. But shouldn't we be really bringing them before the Lord more often? Shouldn't we be praising the Lord for our brothers and sisters day by day? Just picked out 4 quick verses that the Apostle Paul shared in various of his epistles concerning what he thought of his brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I'll just turn to these quickly if you don't have to turn if you don't want to, but the first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, where Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Imagine he says, I'm always thanking the Lord for you. When we think of our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, are we always in a thankful attitude for our brothers and sisters? Again, over in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Not just when they had a need, not just when they were ill, but I cease not to give thanks for you and to make mention of you. Daily praising the Lord for our brothers and sisters. How little time it would take if we, in a week's time, if we went through, you know, and prayed for each brother or sister in our meetings. And if we constantly kept them before the Lord. Again in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You know, as I travel around somewhat today, you hear of so many times of Christians who have so many problems one with another. A lot of times you hear of Christians that have animosity between each other. It's not over doctrine. It's over just simple things, simple little things, misunderstandings and things like that. And Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You know, if we were to thank the Lord every time we thought of our brothers and sisters, every time a brother or sister came to mind, it'd be very hard to have some kind of an animosity come between us, wouldn't it? And how important it is, I think, for unity in the body of Christ, that we are praising the Lord for our brothers and sisters and praying for them and thanking Him for them day by day. Again, in the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 3, the same thought comes through again. We give thanks to God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Can you imagine how much time the Apostle Paul must have spent in prayer each day, just praying for the believers in these various little assemblies that he had pioneered around those various parts? Because he's saying to them, I'm praying for you always, I'm remembering you, and I'm sure that when Paul said this, that he was truthful in the words that he penned. And so it's an example, I think, for us as believers, that we be praising the Lord for our fellow believers, be praying for them, and it's a spiritual blessing to have brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, in a family, it's a blessing to have brothers and sisters, isn't it? You can have, in a sense, a fellowship one with another in your physical family. But think of how much more so in the spiritual family. There's something, a bond that you have with your brothers and sisters in the Lord that you can't even have with all your brothers and sisters maybe in the physical family, because all of them may not even know the Lord as their Savior. And so in this day when there's so much problems among believers, how important it is that we keep these lines open of being in thankfulness and in prayer for our fellow believers. And, you know, so often a lot of things that happen come about just by innocent things. A story's told of an assembly near here. Some of the brethren have told me about this incident that happened a number of years ago. But there was an older brother, a dear brother in the Lord, gifted in the Word, and yet as he got older, he kind of lost his hearing, and his hearing got very bad. And one day, a visiting speaker was in the meeting, and the visiting speaker said something from the pulpit that was completely different than what the brother with his problem with hearing heard. He heard a completely different sentence than what was said by the brother. And this brother, being kind of the old school, stood up in the middle of the meeting and said, that's a lie of the devil, and stomped out of the assembly. Well, another brother quickly went after him and got things straightened out as he explained what had been said. But you see just how easy it is just for a little misunderstanding to come in between the fellowship of two believers. And so as we think about the fact that the Apostle Paul says, I give thanks. I thank the Lord for you. I pray always for you. When we're thanking the Lord for our fellow believers, when we're praying for our fellow believers, how less the chances are of something coming between us, and how that bond is able to be, continue to be forged in the Lord. And so we have that blessing of spiritual brothers and sisters, of a spiritual heritage. And then we have to praise the Lord for that spiritual food, the Word of God. You know, can you think what it would be like if we didn't have God's Word? Imagine what it would be if God had not given us His written Word. You think of how much error is in the world today with the Word, and how people take it and change it and twist it around. But think of what it would be like if we were without the Word of God. And then how important it is to daily thank the Lord and praise the Lord for this spiritual food that we have. You know, we have brothers and sisters in some parts of the world who don't have these 66 books in their language. Their language is where the Word is not even written down. There are places where it's illegal to possess this book. In some of the Muslim countries of the world, you could face death if you were caught with a Bible. And yet, in so many of our homes, we probably have a multitude of Bibles, different versions, sitting on shelves. How important it is, again, to think about this spiritual blessing that He's given us. He's given us His written Word. It's our food. The writer of the Hebrews likens it to a two-edged sword. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, he says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That word is important in our lives, isn't it? It's there to pierce us, to bring about, to discern the thoughts that we have, the intents that we have. And if we study His Word, if we hide it in our heart, then we're going to grow in Him. The thoughts that we have will be closer to Him. The intents of our heart will be intents that are guided by the truths of God's Word. And so, it's a wonderful spiritual blessing to have this spiritual food, to have God's Word, and how we should be in praise of that day by day. Another blessing, thing that we can be in praise for, is for the strength that He gives in times of testing, in times of trial. You know, we like to praise the Lord when the good things are happening. It's easy to praise the Lord when the good things are happening. But during those times of stress come and those times of trial, it's not the easiest to give thanks, and is it? It's not the easiest to praise for. But I think, as you read the epistles of Paul, and as you just kind of separate into one hand what Paul went through, and it would be almost an entire study to go through that, is to look at all the things that Paul suffered through, the imprisonments and the beatings and everything that he suffered at the hands of the enemies of the gospel. And then to see, on the other hand, all of his words of encouragement and praise and thanksgiving, you kind of get an idea of how of what it is possible to do, even in the face of adversity. And then even the illustrations that we see even in our lifetime. We see someone like Corrie Ten Boom, who was put in a concentration camp during World War II and treated in the most inhumane ways, and yet how the Lord worked in her life, even to be able to bring praise through this. And then you see one like Johnny Erickson, paralyzed from the neck down, and yet the testimony that she has for the Lord. And so it is an encouragement that day by day we need to give the Lord praise for even for the trial that we come through. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 9, he says that his grace is sufficient for us. There's no situation that we can face where God doesn't have sufficient grace to give us in that situation. He says that when we're weak, his strength is made perfect. Can you imagine what it would be like if we never had any testing? If we never had any opposition of any kind? If we just got saved and everything was just smooth every day? We got up and we never had an ache or a pain. No one ever had a cross word with us. We didn't have any problems on the job. No problems with anyone, our neighbors or anything. And all through our life, everything just went completely smooth. Well, the Lord might as well just save us and then just take us home to be with Him. But you see, we go through these times of testing. It makes us more mature in Him, doesn't it? He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." No matter what situation we face, there's always sufficient grace to face that situation. My strength is made perfect in weakness. If we had no trial or testing, we could almost think, well, I'm doing pretty good. We'd probably get to the point where we would think in our minds, why do we really need God? Everything's just smooth. Why do we really need Him? But then in our lives, as times come and the bumps come in the road, and we really see how weak we are, yet that weakness brings forth His strength. And He's able to strengthen us in that weakness. Paul says, "I rather glory in my infirmities." Something very difficult, isn't it? To glory in our infirmities. But he says, "I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." For the unbeliever, that would be a hard statement to understand, wouldn't it? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. But for the Christian, as we see the grace of the Lord, as we see Him working in our lives, we can realize that when we're at our very weakest point, His strength is there to undergird us and to lift us up. So that when we do have trial, we can have victory in that trial, and we can come to the place of where we can rejoice in the tribulations of the trials that we go through. And we can praise Him day by day for the strength that He gives us in those trials. And so, while no one at the time likes to be tested, likes to have trials, yet that's something that we can give praise to Him for. Because in a sense, it's a spiritual blessing. Because it strengthens us in Him. It gives us a greater understanding of who He is. A greater understanding of His power to lead us and His power to strengthen us. And it helps us in our daily lives for Him. And so we can give praise for the trials that we have. And then for the opportunity to worship. I think of that as a wonderful spiritual blessing. You know, we came together on the first day of the week to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful spiritual blessing that He's given us. You know, as we think back to the Israelites, to the children of Israel, they didn't have this blessing that we have. They could bring their offering to the door of the tabernacle, but they couldn't go in. They could not go into that holy place. And only the high priest could once a year could go into the Holy of Holies. There was always that separation. While they knew that they had a God who was watching over them, while they knew that they had a God in whom they trusted, yet there was always something that separated the Israelite from God. They had to come through a mediator. They had to come through that priest. But all the day, we have the most wonderful privilege, the most wonderful opportunity, the priesthood of believers, to be the opportunity to worship Him. And as He says to us in 1 Corinthians 11, that as often as you do it, the sad thing it is that it's done so little today, isn't it? So many people neglect it so. But we have that opportunity to worship, to come and remember the Lord Jesus Christ and His death for us. And it's something that all of us can do as believers. Now sometimes there's some negative connotations by some people put upon the breaking of bread. They say, well, your ladies, they're kind of pushed into a place of, kind of pushed into a bad place there. Only the brethren are allowed to speak, but yet, both the brethren and the sisters have a wonderful place at the breaking of bread. You know, as the sisters pray in their hearts, in silence, as the brethren share audibly, the Lord hears both prayers the same. The brethren leading out is for the order in the assembly. But as far as our prayers being heard by the Lord, they're all heard the same. And it's a wonderful opportunity that we have to come together to remember Him. And even the sisters have a wonderful privilege at the breaking of bread that we brethren don't have. And that's something that a lot of times as well is kind of thought of negatively in these days. And that's the head covering, isn't it? Because we're told that the sisters have an opportunity to witness to the angels by showing the obedience in the head covering. And while some would say, you make your ladies wear a head covering. Well, it's not an idea of making. It's an idea of a precious privilege that they have to be able to show forth this example to the angelic hosts that are watching from heaven. And it's a wonderful opportunity. And so it's not a negative thing, but it's a positive thing on behalf of the sisters. And so the breaking of bread is a wonderful time, a wonderful time to come together and remember Him and how we need to praise Him, I think, day by day, that He's given us this opportunity, that He's given us this meeting where we can come into His very presence, not separated by a veil, not to have to come through some individual who takes it for us, but we have the opportunity to come into the very presence of our Lord and to remember His Son and His death for us. And that's a wonderful spiritual blessing that so many people, I believe, today are missing out on, but one which we need to praise Him for day by day. And then we can also, can't we, praise Him for the opportunities to serve. As we think about praise the Lord, to think about the fact that He has chosen us to carry His message to the world. When we think about how unworthy we were even to receive salvation, how unworthy we are to have eternal life, and yet God has chosen us as His vessels, as His messengers, to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's something that really almost in our human mind is hard to take in, isn't it? That we who were His enemies and far away, those who, in a sense, hated Him, yet He, through His wondrous grace, saved us, and this is now that I've saved you, I'm going to entrust my gospel to you. And I'm entrusting this gospel to you to be witnesses to others, to take the gospel into all the world, to be used to see unsaved men and women come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Isn't that a wonderful opportunity that we have? Isn't that a precious thing to be able to share the good news of the gospel? To realize that a holy God is using us as His vessels in His service. Think of the Apostle Paul. He was, again, in 1 Thessalonians, he was writing to the Christians there. And he was just rejoicing in the opportunity that he had to share the good news with them. And he says in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5, the gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, I came to you, and I had the opportunity of sharing the gospel with you, and you became followers. You didn't just hear the word, but you received it. And now he says, so that you are an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only into Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God is spread abroad. He says, you received the word, and then you turned around, and you shared it with others. And how Paul's heart was thrilled as he heard the testimony coming back of how the Christians at Thessalonica were sharing the good news and how the word was spreading forth from there, out to these other areas. This is a particular blessing in our lives as well. When we have been able to share the gospel with someone, and we see someone come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then 6 months, a year down the road, we see how they've grown in the Lord and how they're witnessing and sharing as well. And as it continues to multiply, it's a joy in our hearts to see this happening. But it's a precious joy to be able to praise the Lord for the opportunities that we have to serve Him, realizing that we had no standing before Him as far as salvation was concerned. We were saved by His grace, and that He chose us to carry that wondrous message to the world around us. And then, in closing, I think as we also can praise Him for what He's planned for us in the future. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, isn't He? We don't know when it's going to be. It could be tonight. It might be another 10 years. It might be 100 years. We have no idea. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ has told us that He's going to prepare a place for us. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, how we can praise Him day by day as we look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That gives comfort, doesn't it? It gives comfort to our hearts. He said in John chapter 14, let not our hearts be troubled. As He spoke to the disciples and spoke about His coming again, He said, don't let your heart be troubled. You can be comforted in the fact that I'm coming again. And for the Christian, there's great comfort in knowing the Lord is our Savior. Because we know that it doesn't matter what the future holds. Just in the past few weeks, we've seen kind of turmoil in the world as far as the monetary systems were concerned. And they were speaking on some of the news programs about individuals whose wealth in just a few short hours plummeted $1 billion. Imagine that when you think of a person who in just a few hours can lose $1 billion of their wealth. And for some people, as they look at these stock markets and things like that, there's much fear and anguish comes to their hearts. But for the believer, we realize that our hope is not based in the things of this world and the stock markets of this world or any of the material things of here. But our Lord is preparing a place for us. And so even when the news that comes into our homes day by day is not the best, we can have a comfort. It gives us comfort in our Lord. As we think of this promise, it also makes us more expectant, doesn't it? Maybe He'll come today. Perhaps today will be the day that the Lord will come. And it would be wonderful if it would be today. But as we expect Him, then it should also cause us to be ready. It should cause readiness in our lives. Looking and ready for His coming. You know, a lot of times a teacher will assign some lessons for the students to study. And they say, now I'm going to give a test someday. I'm not going to tell you what day I'm going to give the test on, but I'm going to give you a test this week. And so some of the students say, well, they'll probably wait till Friday. I don't have to worry about it. And so they just kind of forget about it. I'll study Thursday night and I'll be prepared for the test. Others, they're expecting that test, and so they prepare for it by studying the material that's given. And so when Tuesday the teacher walks into the class and says, okay now students, take out your paper, we're going to have the exam today, the test today, those who are expected and those who are ready, they're comfortable, aren't they? They can write down what they've learned and they're ready for the test. Those who say, well, it probably won't be till Friday, I don't have to worry about it, they're not in a very high state of comfort at that time. They're probably becoming very anxious. For the Christian, we need to be in readiness as we look for the coming of the Lord, keeping our hearts and lives close to Him, in His Word, in prayer, daily looking for His return. Not knowing that He may not come today or this year or the next 100 years, but yet ready if it would happen at any moment. And then if we are ready, then it should call provoke us to continued service for Him, to be desirous to go out and share that good news with the world around us. We have so much to praise Him for, so much to give thanks to him who loved us and gave himself for us. And this just touches just a few things. There's so much more that we could add through the word as we think about him, as we think about this week of a time of thanksgiving, how our hearts should daily be in an attitude of praise unto him. And again, just in closing, if you're here and don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, please don't leave tonight without talking to someone. One of the brethren would be glad to take the Word of God and sit down with you and share the gospel so that you can leave this building knowing with assurance in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, that you put your faith and trust in him. Shall we just look to him in a word of prayer? Our Father, we just thank you again this evening for your precious word. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you bestow upon us that we can't even begin to count. We thank you for the wonderful spiritual blessings, for salvation. And Father, we do thank you for the opportunities that you have given us, that you've chosen us to carry this wonderful message to the world. We pray that you just help us to buy up the opportunities that are there. We thank you, Father, that even in times of trial, that you are there to strengthen us, that your grace is sufficient. We just praise you for it. Again, Father, we would just pray that there be one person among us tonight who doesn't know you as their Savior, that you would just speak to their heart, that tonight might be the night that they would receive that wonderful gift, the most wonderful gift in the world, the gift of salvation. Again, we just give thee praise and thanksgiving in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.